number 15 Arbitron rated, The Don and Mike Show.
Here's a good invention. The pill. The pill. That's a good invention. Just for the fact that everybody here... Yeah, you little sluts. Just for the fact... Just for the fact that everybody here knows exactly which pill I'm talking about. That's impressive. I gave you the and a very vague noun. Everybody's on board. That's impressive. It also tells you where our priorities are as a country. That's the pill. You know what I mean? Because there are a lot of pills. There's 1,000 pills, but that's the pill. There's a pill that keeps you from getting polio. That's not the pill. Yeah, take this, it'll save your life. Take this, you don't have to buy condoms. Well, that's the pill.
The Don and Mike Show. Be in love and listen to The Don and Mike Show.
Patty, we're back. We'll talk about Roethlisberger later. About that whole thing. Although, if I hear one more goddamn TV or radio guy go, the irony is he's required to wear a helmet on Sundays.
Oh, God, yeah.
When he's playing for the Steelers, yep, he doesn't have to when he drives a motorcycle in Pennsylvania.
That's the big story. And how many angles of that car can we get? You know, and the motorcycle, and the trashed motorcycle.
Car looked like AJ Soprano's car after Tony hit it with the helmet.
Yeah, only if Tony had continued on down to the the side of the door.
It was a New Yorker. It was a Chrysler New Yorker.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I wouldn't go up against one of those.
No, not with one of those little crotch rockets.
A New Yorker. We were with New Yorkers last night.
We're all from Brooklyn.
At one point. Yeah. Mike and I had a good meeting with these Infinity jerk-offs, and at one point, or CBS, I'm sorry, they changed the name of the company all the time. At one point, Mike just said to him, so where are you guys from?
Well, see, I'm a dialect guy, and they were subtle. We knew the head guy was in New York,
right?
Because he talks about that, and we met him, but Bobby we hadn't Bacall. Met the other two guys. And we're talking, and everybody at this table's talking, and I suddenly realize everybody we're talking to has the same kind of accent, and it's very, very hard on the one particular guy to hear it, but I hear it just enough,
right.
So I decided to bring it up, because I said, you guys are all from New York, right? And it was like, New York, Brooklyn! There they all were, and suddenly we felt just a little bit outside.
Yeah. But one good thing, among all the good things that happened, at least at this dinner we had last night with these JOs, was that they signed off on everything with the studios. And I went to our new studios on Saturday on my way up to the Poconos, and we're about a month away from completion.
which is pretty normal for us anyway.
Yeah, we're slow.
It normally takes a long time.
When we're younger.
That's why we're so good with the chicks.
That's why we give women so much pleasure.
Right. It takes us a month to get off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But really, the stuff that they've done, for instance, we have neighbors. One of the segments we're going to do is, on a regular basis, meet the neighbors and talk to the neighbors.
Right.
Because there are other people, other businesses. There's a doctor.
Oh.
There's a chiropractor.
Sure.
There's a dentist. And we have wireless microphones. Now, they've built into the ceiling, into the roof, through the ceilings, antennas for the wireless microphones.
Perfect.
They did a test on Saturday. Now, where our new studios, where we're going to broadcast from in about a month, will be, are right by a major highway in Rockville, Maryland, called Rockville Pike.
Mm-hmm.
You'll go across this 4-lane death strip and...
Taking your life in your own hands.
And there's, I mean, there's everything over there. There's Best Buy. There's a big giant food store. There's a Borders. The microphone, a wireless microphone held by URI works.
Right.
But more importantly, a microphone held by Joe works. Now, are we all in agreement that one of the best bits Letterman does, and he did it again recently,
right,
is when he sends Rupert out, and Rupert's got the thing in his ear, and he's talking to Letterman,
right,
and he says whatever Letterman tells him to say.
Sure. Right.
Like, for instance, they did this last week on the Letterman. This is a blatant ripoff. I don't care. It's a brilliant concept, and it's so funny when Letterman does it. He sends Rupert G. into this Starbucks, and Letterman's got watching him on this hidden camera, and he can hear Letterman in his ear. And as someone's walking in, Letterman says to him, Tell him we're closed.
And that was the best part right there. The single, it was, you know, you could have said something more shocking, but when he says to this one lady, we're closed. Or actually, it's a guy. The first one he says, it's a guy. And the guy gives him this look as he sees everybody inside. As a matter of fact, we walked by that Starbucks yesterday. And it was hysterical.
Now, the beauty of this, and I was telling this to my girlfriend on Saturday when we were looking at this place. I said, Mike and I can be sitting out here on the front porch, or we could even go up on the roof where we'll have a roof studio.
Right.
If we want to get binoculars, we can really look at Joe. Right. Otherwise, and as long as he's out in public with a sign that says CBS Radio, I am broadcasting live, if people don't want to talk to him, they don't got to talk to him.
Exactly.
Sure. And what's great is because he'll have the headphones on.
Uh-huh. We can tell him to say whatever we want.
Right.
Yes.
Fantastic. That'll excite him about as much as his vacuum cleaner does.
I don't know.
That really got Joe going today. Huh?
Joe is out of his mind. I have not seen that enthusiasm from Joe for anything. But when you got him talking about his vacuum cleaner, he was out of his mind. Just now, just during the break.
You can see the dirt. That's what he likes.
That's what he likes. He's got the kind where you can see the dirt. It doesn't go into a bag. You can actually see the dirt, and he says he'll vacuum 3 and 4 times to see how much dirt. You know, he'll go the first time, it fills it all the way up, then halfway, then a third. Very, just, I mean, out of his mind going crazy.
The life of Joe.
This was very important to him. He said he doesn't look at it as like something, a chore. He looks at it as a household tool, like a power tool that a guy would have.
Mm-hmm. Well, time to bring it to the new place.
All right.
He can do all the vacuuming there.
That'd be perfect.
Yeah, because they are doing massive construction. Anyway, these studios, from our standpoint, for what we do for the final time, because you're probably sick of hearing it, it's just going to make the show a lot better.
Cool.
I mean, really, we're going to have all brand new state-of-the-art equipment, microphones that go forever. We'll have a whole different group of people to interact with from our neighbors to people across the street, to being right by a major highway. We got a nice big grassy knoll right out front of the radio station.
For all of our wonderful stunts.
Right. Reminds me of the grassy knoll that we had over at Wavell 105.
Wonderful. That'll be fun.
So anyway, that's all great. Now, the NASCAR thing.
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to go right to my girlfriend's notes, which incidentally
she wrote for you.
She wrote on a puke bag.
That's now why would you have a barf bag?
Well, what she did was she had she carries a lot of stuff in her purse.
Well, I guess so if she carries those.
Well, no, it's not really a barf bag. What it is you can see it's from a vet hospital. It's some medicine.
Oh yeah, white
for
paper.
It's medicine for her dog.
Uh-huh.
And she
not
just
a stool bag.
No, it's smell it, ass.
No, I didn't think it had been used.
No, make
you
him smell it.
No, you don't. Yeah, smell it. Yeah, smell it.
Maybe it had been used once.
No, it's not.
Remember, that came from a NASCAR race.
That's true.
Anyway, maybe it does smell like stool. I said to her, you got anything to write on? She said, well, I've got this bag that my dog's meds came in. I said, perfect. I said, and she said, and if you feel like you're going to get sick and you don't want to embarrass yourself in front of people.
Right.
I've got a barf bag for you.
Right in there.
So we bring our plastic glasses. This is maybe the most important move of the day.
Okay.
These are giant plastic glasses?
These are 12-ounce plastic glasses. But I'm determined not to drink whatever warm, donkey number one smelling beer it is that most people are drinking.
Okay.
And frankly, I don't really think I'm going to be able to find vanilla vodka.
So did you bring your own hooch?
Yes, we did.
Mm-hmm.
We had our own little mini bar set up in the back of my car.
Okay.
And we got to the racetrack. We left about 10 o'clock, stopped by the new studios, got up there about 3.
Okay.
So we get there 3 or 3:30. We go right to the racetrack because we want to hang around with the people.
Right.
And we're feeling good about ourselves because we've read the weather. It's going to be cool. It was like only 47 on Saturday.
Nighttime race.
No, it was a daytime race
on
Sunday.
Okay, all right.
But even during the day.
No, but I mean the Saturday one was a nighttime race, right?
Yeah, but even during the day on Saturday, the high temp up there was only like 54.
Wow. Okay, what time did the race start?
7:30, okay. Something like that. But during the day when we got up there early, it was cold. It was also cold on Sunday as well. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get to that in a second. That's an important part of where the first NASCAR fan that I met was this jerk from Philly, and it was really, really funny. So we get up there and we find a place to park, and it's like we rounded up every illegal alien in this country and made them live in some type of a tent city.
Okay.
That's all I could say. It's its own separate city.
People make a 3-day weekend out of it.
Yeah.
Some people had been there, we found out, 8 or 9 days.
Wow.
Waiting for these races.
Wow.
So she says, We're going to get our own little bar. We know where the car is.
Are there people that tour with NASCAR that actually travel from race to race?
There are. We met them. So we fix our own drinks, right? Little crayon light and a little more vanilla vodka.
So you're beginning your tailgating.
Right. And we start walking around with the drinks, and we're feeling good, and we go back to the car, and we refill, and we're walking around. And it's cold. Like I said, it's like 47. Mm. And, of course, there are these stands where they sell every type of friggin' merchandise in the world. So I'm standing outside the Tony Stewart stand, and, you know, I'm...
They have a Tony Stewart doll?
Yeah, they have bobbleheads. Yeah, they do. They do. And I was really, you know, I was saying, how retarded would I look if I bought that jacket? I said, really? I'd never wear that jacket.
Right.
She said, you'd wear it today. I said, I'd wear it today because I'm drunk. And I have a jacket on now.
Was it one of those killer jackets, one of those real expensive ones?
No, it's one that looked like what one of the guys in his crew would wear.
Okay. So
it's one of those big goddamn...
nylon jackets.
Orange Home Depot, look like a retard thing.
Is Tony Stewart your driver?
Yeah, I like him. Okay. And he looked like he could be working on the stop slow thing, or you'd be out hunting. The thing just hideous. I didn't end up getting it, but I was standing there debating it. A guy from Philly came up, and let me see, what did she write here? Oh, guy from Philly bitching about temp. Oh, okay. All right. So we're just standing there looking, and this guy comes up and announces that he's from Philadelphia. That's right. How we know. He walks up to the girl behind the counter and says, hello, I'm from Philly. Right? And everybody kind of stops, and he says, what is the effing deal? Last year, I was here at this race. It was 98 effing degrees. It's 47 effing degrees now. And I got to buy this stuff to stay warm.
He's not happy.
Now, at this point, I can see that my girlfriend wants to say something to him.
And he doesn't fit what most people have the stereotypical NASCAR
for. No, it doesn't sound like it.
He was very mad, and she wanted to say something to him. I know she did, so I grabbed her, you know, by the back of her neck.
No, I pulled the hair back, snapped her
head.
No,
I grabbed her by her...
Shut up!
By her collar. I'm like, chill out, just watch this guy. He's like, all right, I tell you what, I'm cold, so I will do you a favor, and I will buy one of them sweatshirts, and then I would like what kind of hat is that? She says to him, that is a winter hat. That's a ski hat. Uh-huh. He says, is it a ski mask? She says, no, it's a winter hat.
Right.
It's a wool hat. You know, he says,
and you're in the Poconos, you're up in the mountains.
Uh-huh. I'll take those. So she goes, okay. And she rings it up and whatever. Now, this is where the guy really just loses it. She goes, whatever, you know, $62. And he goes, $62 effing dollars! $62 effing dollars! And he's not there with anybody.
He's just screaming?
He's not there with fans.
Is he doing it to get himself noticed, or is he doing it because he's legitimately pissed?
He is drunk,
right,
and he is pissed.
Mm-hmm.
And he's getting so mad at this girl that's working behind the counter.
Right.
He finally says, screw it. I'll live without the sweatshirt. How much is the hat? And she says, $19.95.
Oh. You're kidding me.
He said, okay. Okay. Lays down the 20.
Uh-huh.
Then says, where's my change? Right? And she gives him the change. He puts on the hat. Now, it's one of those wool-like old-time wintery hats. You know do you know the type I'm talking about?
Yeah, kind of a blue winter with like a logo on it, maybe with just the number on it.
Yeah, it's got number 20 on it. Now, he's got it pulled at this sideway, jaunty angle that makes him look, seriously, like a mongoloid.
You've got really, hats here?
He's drunk enough, and he's sloppy enough, and he's wearing the hat at such an angle that people are not looking at him now like he's some out-of-control monster. It's almost like, and he turns, and he says, out of everybody in the crowd,
right,
he turns to my girlfriend, who's not said a thing, about 20 feet away, and goes, what are you laughing at?
I frankly think you look like a mongoloid in that hat.
I'm standing there, and I said, She's not laughing at anything. Was I talking to you?
Oh, is he a large man?
He is a gigantic. I mean, not fat. He is a gigantic tree trunk of a man.
Okay, so he's a big man who could
crush me.
Crush
he's,
you.
He's drunk and he could crush me.
Are his arms exposed from the shoulder down?
No, he has, but he has on, Buzz, you'd like this. He had on a tiny, tiny shirt.
Ah.
Oh, and celebrity he most resembles, yeah. Vin Diesel with hair.
Wearing chains? Is he wearing gold?
Nope.
Wallet chain, man.
Oh, I thought you meant like hanging. No, yes,
no
he
is
had,
he wearing, does he have the jewelry?
The Guido stuff, right. Yeah. And he's got the big guns. Okay, so right. I don't picture him being, he's like, what are you laughing at? She's like, nothing. He's, and what are you looking at? And I go, nothing. And then, you know, because I'm already feeling like Joe Pussy.
Do you know, seriously, there. When a guy says that to you, have I ever told you what you do in that situation?
What's that?
If he says specifically those words, what are you looking at?
Mm-hmm.
Here's the way you handle this situation. You stop, you maybe wait two beats. You kind of squint one eye, but keep it open and keep the other one open and full. And you look him in the eye like this. He says, what are you looking at? And you look right away and you go, look at him and say, a dead man.
Maybe that works for you. It would not work for me.
Nah, I'm just joshing.
I'm standing there, and this is kind of played out now. By right. Now it's played out. And
so did you feel when he said that to you like he was maybe looking for somebody to go with?
Yeah, I mean, sure. He was, and there's no doubt that, I mean, I was goofing on him behind his back.
Mm-hmm.
Like when he was talking real loud and stuff, I was going like to my girlfriend, and I was going, you know, like,
right.
Like, you know, doing the mouthy thing, and he couldn't mm-hmm. see me. So I feel emaciated. I feel like a pussy. I don't stand up for my girlfriend.
Emasculated.
Emasculated.
Right.
Thank you. What did I say?
Right. Emaciated. He wasn't taking any weight off you. He was just making you feel like a
no,
girl.
No, correct. And then to make matters worse, so he's still just standing there. And it's like awkward. He's standing there, and there are some people, and I'm still debating whether I'm going to buy something or not.
Mm-hmm.
Some guy who's got to weigh soaking wet, maybe 78 pounds. Guy walks up with his two kids. Guy looks like a stick figure, really. Walks up to the guy and says, excuse me, I'm here with my family, and NASCAR is a family event, and I don't appreciate the way you talk, and I don't appreciate the way you talk to people. And if you got a problem, how about you and I step behind this tent?
Wow.
And this guy, whoa! This guy literally is 4 feet tall, right? And Big Vin Diesel says, hey, I'm sorry if I offended you. I'm terribly sorry. It's like he's doing it pathetically, but he... But he walks.
But he's backing down to the guy.
But he walks away.
Yeah.
I really believe you've probably had this situation when you have your kids and you're a father standing up for your children. That is, I don't care what the circumstance. That's a legitimate, you know, pride of the lions kind of moment.
Right.
So this is why I like my girlfriend. He walks away. The guy from Philly walks away, and the other guy walks up with his kids, and she says, thank God there was a real man around to protect me.
Oh, dear. Oh, that's funny.
Did you laugh out loud at that?
Of course I did.
That is funny.
Then I bought my two...
Was he causing people around there to cower a little bit?
Yes. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because he was so loud and obnoxious.
A gigantic man. And then I bought my two tubes of Tony Stewart personal lubricant, and we were out of there.
Excellent.
And this is now where it gets... This is where it gets very Mike-ish.
Oh, God.
Okay, so I'm at the racetrack long enough now that all inhibitions are gone. All these people that I'm meeting, they're all my friends.
Right. Drink those inhibitions away.
Now, these, generally speaking, are people who I imagine eat possums 7 nights a week. Yet, for whatever reason, I'm going in their tents.
Get her done.
I'm going by their bonfires. Now here we go.
Here's shaking hands. Hey buddy, pick a winner. Get her done.
Here's the next thing that my girlfriend wrote down. Drunk Yahtzee. Now,
hey.
I don't like board games to begin with.
Okay.
I mean, even around the holidays when my family plays board games,
right.
I hate it. We go by one these people. They have a Tony Stewart flag up,
mm-hmm.
and they've got a tent. And they say, I stick my head and I go, any number 20 fans in here? Because that's the way I am.
Well, like, you're well on your way if you're doing that.
So they're like, come on in, we love Tony. So I say to Adrian, I say, and at this point, I'm
you
just
like to yell when you've got, I just realized you like to do a little, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I got one of those last night. You remember that?
No.
I don't know what we were walking by. It was some Irish pub we walked by with the door open. And we're walking back to the hotel, and you were just, you just had enough where you leaned in, and we'd had a really good meeting. And we came walking out, and you leaned in the Irish bar and just pulled a, yeah!
I don't know what's going on with me.
Well, no, it's not like you were struggling.
Struggling.
But I can see you doing this. I can see you doing this.
So I say to Adrian, come here, honey. Be a love. Go get some more drinks. She says, where's the car? I don't know. So she says,
you're in the tent city.
She says, give me the boop boop thing. So I give her the keys, and she's off to find a drink. She comes back, great girlfriend. Like 10 minutes later, she's got two drinks. She comes back. She goes, what are you doing? I said, I'm playing Yahtzee. And they say, he doesn't know how to play Yahtzee.
Yeah.
I said, I never played before. What's Yahtzee? And as it turns out, gosh, you can get a full house. You can get four of a kind.
You're the only guy I've ever played Yahtzee.
You fill out the top of the sheet and then the
doesn't have little pieces that you move. Is that
no? Yahtzee? You roll five dice.
Okay.
Five dice.
Yahtzee, wandering around in Shantytown.
We used our hand. We didn't use any of your fancy cup.
No city cup.
Down home Yahtzee.
All I know is that then at one point they're still explaining this to me. Now keep in mind, it's me. Mister, I can't stand
it. It wasn't Yahtzee for money, was it?
Oh no, it was a dollar a hand. Oh, I mean, it was a dollar a game, you know, God knows how much I lost because I really didn't understand how to play.
Right.
And at one point, I couldn't even. My eyes are so bad, and I was just so out of it. I made Adrian go back to. I don't want to say made her. I said, "Where are my glasses?" She's like, "They're in the car." I said, "Would you please go? I can't read. This too small to read the Yahtzee thing.
The scorecard."
So she goes and she gets the.
You played Yahtzee, Buzz?
Oh yeah, many times.
This was just. I mean,
Rob, I don't think it's because of that.
I do.
Yeah. Because of the weed.
Yeah.
No, with Buzz, I don't think so. But it was just hard to believe that I'd be sitting around celebrity that these people most resembled. Yeah. All of them, Boomhauer. From King of the Hill.
No, no, I'm going to play Yahtzee. I'm going to click. I mean, I'll sat it on there. I'm going to Yahtzee, and I'm going to get a reading glass, read that Yahtzee game board.
So we go by. We play Yahtzee.
Mm-hmm. You walk into a tent full of total strangers,
and
suddenly you're sitting at the game?
Because I see that they have a flag outside that says Tony Stewart.
Are you wearing any Tony Stewart anything? Do you have anything?
I had a Tony Stewart T-shirt on.
Okay.
Yeah. And at that point, I just, like I said, I opened up. Any 20 fans in here? And right away it was, come on in.
And is that how it works with NASCAR? That you see people that are supporting your driver?
Here's the weirdest, creepiest part. Okay, I'm glad my girlfriend wrote it down just like this.
Was it Strip Yahtzee?
No, it was not.
All right.
The Ricky and Lucy trailer. We're trying to find the car. She's fine. I've had a little bit too much to drink to drive.
Right.
She's fine. So we're navigating our way through this sea of people trying to find our car. And we go past these people. It's like a big old-fashioned 1950s.
Is this before you even go into the race?
Oh, yes.
Wow.
Yes. Big old-fashioned silver, trailer. Like, like you haul around. I go.
Like one of those old Airstreams?
Yes. So we're standing there for a second. She's still looking for the car. Meanwhile, now, again, this is just not the way I am. The man, who is about 60, wearing his boxers and an undershirt, holding a can of beer, comes to the screen door and says, it's a beauty, isn't it? I said, God, it's great. He said, would you like to see it? I said, would I?
He's in his underwear?
He's got his boxer shorts on, his NASCAR boxer shorts.
Well, right.
And he's got a wife beater on.
Right.
And his wife is there, and she's dressed normal, but, you know, they're 60.
But it's just a friendly environment.
So he says...
Everybody's recreating, enjoying
camping,
the same
relaxing,
thing.
Yeah.
He says, do you want to come in? I say, sure. So
that's when he shuts the door and bolt locks it in back to you.
This is just so not me.
I
go in and sit down, and I'm getting this guy's entire, hell, my name is Fred, and this is my wife, Myrtle, and we live down south of Atlanta. We go to all the races, and can we get you something to drink? I said, no, I'm fine. My girlfriend will be coming back any second. Then I realize, hold on, she doesn't know where I am.
Yeah.
So
you've walked into a strange trailer.
So, yeah.
Come on, squeal.
Yeah. Had to happen.
So what happens is...
Don Geronimo stars in Missing.
I have to go, I say, give me just a second.
The great race.
And I go out on the front porch, and now... Front porch. I mean, I'm on the steps, on the wooden steps. At least.
Why don't you make yourself comfortable? Get her done!
I'm standing there like a retard. And keep in mind, everybody's yelling and screaming, and there's music, and I'm going... Like out of Rocky. I'm going, hey, man! Hey, where are you? Adrian! And some guy.
This is so unlike you that you're walking into a complete stranger's trailer.
Some guy who I, at that moment, I thought I had never met before, was walking by and said, hey, Mike. So he called me by my real name, right?
Yeah.
And I do a dog, like, yeah? He said, your girlfriend's looking for you about two blocks over that way. She's by a red trailer. I say, who are you? He said, I'm Kevin.
I'm the
white rabbit.
I'm the drunk wrangler.
Dick, whatever his name
is. I'm the drunk wrangler. Don, we're going to need you to step into this wagon.
He said, don't you remember? You ate some of my pig.
And was that back at the bonfire?
And I said, oh, and I treated him like he's my long lost friend. I said, oh, you're the guy with the pig on the spigot. Man, was that good.
The spit.
God, was that good. And now the old guys come out.
Fresh tapped pig.
The old guy comes out, and he's like, hi. And I say, this is my friend. I'm pointing up. Kevin.
Was the sun, and the sun's not even totally down yet, right?
Nope. So the guy goes and finds my girlfriend.
Right.
Brings him back. And it's at this point that we hear, it's all happening inside, right?
Yeah, they're getting ready to race.
Getting ready to race. Now, just the prelim.
Right.
And we've been there about 5 hours already.
Wow.
When it's you said prelim, you mean before the actual before the actual Friday night race starts.
Saturday night, yeah.
Saturday night race.
Because Sunday was the big McGilla.
That's NASCAR,
race.
The real guys.
So as we were walking towards the racetrack to get inside, I said to her, oh, my God. She said, what's wrong? I said, where's that barf bag? And she said, well, I've been writing notes on it. I said, I really think I'm going to need it. Oh. And she said...
You felt like you'd had enough where you were going to be sick?
Yeah. She said, well, hold on a second. And she was standing there going through her
purse.
Was
it a combination of all the food and drink?
Yes, it was. And it was just everything. And she was going through her purse. And, you know, God bless these NASCAR fans. Like, I guess it happens all the time.
Sure.
I just stood there in the middle of... There had to be 20,000 people trying to get inside the stadium. We were about 200 yards from the door where the line started. And I just said, hold on, stop. I don't feel good. Can you find that? And then the next thing was, blah, blah. And I mean, it just starts coming.
This is before the checkered flag or the yellow flag or the green flag. It's the Technicolor flag.
Yeah. What I was doing was returning the pig.
Wow.
It was. You were done with it.
But I'm sure that probably made your head feel a little bit better, too. Probably cleared you up a little bit.
We decided not to go on Saturday's race.
I hit the trash bag. Get her done. Then you screamed, Yahtzee.
So we decided that, you know, she says, you know what? We should probably go back to the hotel tonight.
So you didn't even make it into the first race?
No.
We'll go back
to the hotel.
Right.
Tomorrow we'll come back to the track. We won't party quite as much. You'll meet my boss. We'll have a good time. We'll go to the suite. We'll go to the race. I'm like, okay, that's good. Where's the car?
Were you guys going to spend the whole night out there?
We were going to go to the
You're always going to go back to the hotel.
We're going to go back to the hotel eventually.
Right.
So we get back to the hotel, and here's a shock. It's 9:45,
yeah.
And all I know is that
You're 15 minutes away from your normal bedtime.
Right. Here's what I remember.
Uh-huh.
She says to me, take your socks off. And I said, I can't move. She said, come on, take your socks off. I was just laying on top of the bed covers and everything. She couldn't even...
Face down?
Yeah. Ass up, right.
I just was wondering where you were face down. So you were ready to go out. You're
you
out.
You bet. And then she said, come on, just take your socks off.
Consciousness is saying goodbye.
I said, no. I said, just leave them. And then she made the cardinal mistake. She said, all right, I'll just take them off. And it was like at that moment I woke up and I became sober. I'm like, hey, what's the number one rule? Don't touch my feet.
Jack.
Don't touch my feet.
I wish to pass out with my socks on.
So that was that was that. We go to bed, and like I said, 9:45 we go to bed. 2:15 a.m. Now, the hotel where we are at, incidentally, everywhere, welcome race fans.
Yep.
Okay,
sure.
2:15.
Race fans, hot rodders.
2:15 a.m., phone rings in the hotel room.
Huh.
I pick it up, you know, half asleep, still drunk. Hello? He goes, yes, this, and it's very loud. It's very loud. Sounds like maybe from the club in this hotel. Yeah. Somebody says, this is the front desk. We got a complaint that we hear lots of loud noise and banging from this room. What's going on? And I said, what are you talking about? I went to bed at 9:45. We haven't. Hello? Hello? And now I turn the light on, right?
Uh-huh.
And my girlfriend goes, who was on the phone? I said, the front desk. So I pick up, I call, and it goes, front desk, how may I help you? I said, did you just call my room? No, I did not, sir. I said, because somebody should call my room. Well, I'm the only one here. I can't imagine what. It is a race weekend, you know. Would you like a do not disturb on your phone? I said, that'd be great. Thank you. Have a good night. And then what we hear is, so now we're laying in bed in this hotel room. We're both awake, waiting to go back to sleep. And we hear the phone ring in the room next to us.
Ah. Oh, somebody's just effing with people.
And then 5 minutes later, she says, listen. And because it's so quiet,
uh-huh.
It's 2:30 in the morning.
He's just making the rounds.
There is somebody drunk that's God. Just calling everybody individually.
You were in the Poconos. That's Pennsylvania?
Yep.
You weren't in Sacramento.
No, we were not, Mike.
You sure?
I know it sounds like it.
It sounds like Sacramento to me.
We were,
only if it was Sacramento, they'd wait 2 hours later.
So we get to the race on Sunday. It's great. I'm feeling good.
Good. Did you have a good breakfast?
We ate at Perkins, so you know it's got to be good.
There you go. Fantastic.
Hearty meal.
Good stuff.
It's good and good for you. So we got there, and it was the combination of the previous day and that wonderful Perkins pig intestine, whatever it was that I had for deep fried for breakfast.
That
was the best. We got there, and I thought I shouldn't drink vodka again. So
I can't beat what I ate last night.
What's
tripe.
Oh yeah, Mike had tripe last night.
That's tripe.
At the
I've never
Italian
had a
restaurant.
That's intestine. Right?
That's stomach lining.
Ah,
yeah.
So we got there. Let me just finish up real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
We got there, and now we got to like meet her boss and everything.
Right.
Who's the guy that got us all this? So I'm like putting on my best. Hi, how you doing? Yes, nice to meet you.
How do you do?
I got the gigantic bags under my eyes, and I'm still.
How many
like,
hours like between the interrupted sleep? How many hours did you get?
Oh, like maybe three.
Three.
I mean, because you know a drunk sleep is not a really restful sleep.
You know, and I find any time in a hotel, if you're not 100% like exhausted, you're gonna have trouble.
So we're going outside, and we're going in between the little suite area and outside by turn number three.
Pale as the movie powder.
And at one point, it just, I don't know why it moves me like this. I just said to her, I said, you know what? That's it. We got to go.
Yeah.
She's like, why do we got to go? I say, because we got to go. I said,
too much day.
I said, just everybody now. I said, everybody's too loud. Everybody's too, she's like, but my boss is here. I said, okay, I'll go over to him, and I said, I promise I'll smooth it over with him. I
that's a tough deal, because really, what time is that race going to end on Sunday?
About 6:30.
That's a long day.
Traffic.
I mean, to get back and think about work and all that.
I said to her, listen, don't worry about it. I'll go talk to him, tell him what a great time I had, and I did, and tell him, I said, I will make up some fantastic, like about the dogs or something, or the fact I got. Here's why I walked up to the guy. I said, Scott. Shook his hand. I said, Scott. And I gave him the double clasp, like Clinton handshake. I said,
sincere.
I want you to know what a great time we had. I said, unfortunately, Adrian's feeling a little under the weather, so I'm going to take her home and take care of her. She's been here today because she really...
Does
really,
she know that you're using her?
No, she got no idea.
That's bad planning right
she
there.
She has no... She has, and hold on.
You have to coordinate the
tell
life.
Me, hold on, please. Tell me about it, because, of course, what does happen to me? Because I say to the guy, so we really got to get her. I said... Thank you. She's only been here because she feels so poorly. I think she's got a touch of the flu. We're going to get... He's like, okay, it was nice to meet you. Uh-huh. Thank you very much.
Good.
I go over back to her because now we're inside this crowded little area that's air-conditioned with booze, so you're not by the cars going 200 miles an hour.
Right.
And I walk back over and I say, okay, we're cool. I talked to him. I told him the whole thing. Told him I felt like crap. It's on me. I did tell him I had a great time. I said, okay. She said, all right, well, let's go. And we started to walk out, and she said, oh, hold on. Crap. I wanted to get two T-shirts for her nephews. So I don't even think about this. And I just see from across the room, she walks past the boss, and there, and I, and again, I'm just not registering on all eight cylinders. Mentally, I'm not. I'm seeing this happen. I'm just standing by the door, and I'm almost getting incensed. Like, my foot is tapping, like,
come on.
Come on. I already said goodbye to the guy. Come on. She comes over, and she walks, she gives me, and I already know this, the phony smile. Uh-huh. And so she goes, are you ready to go? I said, what's wrong? She said, absolutely nothing. Uh-huh. Let's get out of here. You're ready to go, aren't you? Let's get out. I said, what's wrong? She said, nothing. Please just leave, okay?
She's good. In the car.
Thank you. So we get outside. We get outside, and she actually rolled up her program and hit me in the back of the head.
Because you were the one that was going to claim the illness.
She said to me, I don't mind if you tell him that I'm sick, but you got to tell me that.
Yeah, right.
Because my boss said to me,
how you feeling?
Said, I'm sorry you're not feeling well. And she said, are you kidding? I feel great.
Busted.
Oh,
busted.
So then here's the last, I couldn't yell at her. Obviously, I mean, the doghouse, and I couldn't yell at her. The only other opportunity that I had to, because you know how it is. I mean, I'm dating somebody, and I'm familiar enough with her now that it's right, like, right. Okay, I've got a bad mark against me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm waiting for her to do anything, bro. It, like, things will even out so that
you want her to do something, and you're counting on it maybe on the ride home.
Good luck.
And she came up with a beauty. Ah. But I can't take total. It was a dual thing. We're on the way home, and really, she has the bladder of a hummingbird. It seems to me, every 15 minutes, we stop and go to the bathroom?
Sure.
So we're making really good time on, I think it's I-81, and we're coming back, and like the speed limit's 65, I'm doing like 72, cruise control, nobody. She says, I got to pee so bad, can you stop at the next exit? I said, sure. Next exit's a mile away, and it says Arby's, 2 miles this way.
And that's where you always want to do that.
Yeah. Whatever
at Arby's.
Whatever hotel, 2 miles this way. I say, where do you want to pee? Arby's or a hotel? She says, go to the hotel. So we drive 2 miles to the hotel. She goes in and she pees. She comes back. As we're getting back on the interstate, we're talking, and I don't know what it is. It's right. Back and forth, and now we're driving, and everything's just fine, and I see a sign that says, Hershey, Pennsylvania, events, next exit. And I say to her,
that's not the right
hold
word.
On a second. I said, Hershey? God damn it, we passed this an hour ago. She said, which way are we going? And I pushed the thing on the GPS in the car, and it says, I-81 North. I said, Jesus Christ. And it was only because I had been such an ass earlier, I said, you made us go the wrong way. And she said, you're driving. I said, you're the one that got the tickets for the thing. You're the one that had to pee.
Maybe I didn't explain the concept of the navigator to you.
I said, you got to stop every 5 minutes and pee. We stopped and peed. We're going the wrong way. I said, does your
is this one of those kind of highways that they're like 15, 16 miles between?
Yes, where you have no idea, just no freaking idea.
Right.
I started saying to her, aren't you from Pennsylvania? She said, now what does that have to do with it? I said, well, you certainly should know. And I'm not talking like this. I'm not drunk.
For God's sakes, the bushes on the north side just look like the bushes on the south side.
So we finally make the turnaround.
That's a rather significant error.
Yeah, that added 2 hours.
Yeah.
That added 2 full hours.
Not
to
fun
our,
on a Sunday.
To our drive.
With a hangover.
Yeah. And NASCAR, buddy. Hey, buddy. How about you, NASCAR?
Who won the race? Do you know who won the race?
No idea. No idea.
Wow.
That guy with the Airstream camper.
Some guy.
You were friendly to strangers. You played.
Oh, I know who won. The FedEx guy won. The guy in the FedEx car won.
The FedEx guy?
Whoever he is.
Right.
That's all I know. It's a black car.
So over this weekend, you were friendly to strangers, you played Yahtzee, and you lied poorly. Who are you?
Oh, and also the other thing that I did,
yes?
That I know that did not endear me to the people that my girlfriend works for.
Oh,
right.
We got there early enough on Sunday that just like when I was in Daytona and I had the pass from Fox, I could actually go into a very limited view of the pit area.
Okay.
And what happens is I was right by the car or one of the cars that they have a backup car in case the first one breaks.
Mm-hmm.
So it was the backup car, but it looks just like the other one, and it's fancy as hell. And I was just standing there with her saying, God damn, that's great. I said, do me a favor, take a picture of me by this car, because I had my picture taken once by Darrell Waltrip's car when I was down in Daytona. So she said, I don't know if you should. I said, come on, I promise, I won't do anything. So it's like me standing there going, ta-da!
Hey!
And then I couldn't help myself. I said, just get one of me behind the wheel. Just one. And she said, I said, come on, it'll take no time. Now, keep in mind.
Let me take it for one spin around the triangle track.
The door's not open.
Right.
You know, they're welded shut.
Yeah.
You got to climb in.
That's right.
You got to get in like Starsky and Hutch.
So I climb in the car.
Uh-huh.
And she's standing there with the camera, and she goes, okay, ready? And smile. And she puts the camera away, and
Was it difficult to get into it?
No, it was pretty easy. I mean, it was
pretty cool when you were inside of it.
It was fantastic.
All sorts of technology.
Amazingly, not as much as you would think.
Oh, pretty lean.
I mean, it's like a bare bones. I don't know if it's just because that was the backup car or whatever.
I guess it hasn't changed that much. It's a combustion engine.
I mean, it's got the gas, it's got the clutch, it's got the shifter, it's got the Anyway, her boss wasn't even there. It was someone from the race team.
Okay.
And this is how I know, because they had on one of the race uniforms.
XM or Sirius? In the car.
Mike, of course, it would be serious.
And, of course, two vanity mirrors. That's very important.
Anyway, that little bit of fun ended when I heard from around the corner, what are you doing?
Oh, dear.
And it was a guy that was wearing one of the suits, like a member of the crew, right?
Yeah. Oh, no.
A member of his pit crew.
Yeah.
And now my girlfriend by this point has moved away from the car.
Good for her.
And it's just me sitting in this car.
Right.
And he said, what are you, and his exact words are, get your ass out of that car. What are you doing? I said, I'm sorry. And I pull out, I've got the little VIP pass like, around my neck. And I say,
it's okay. I stayed in a Comfort Inn last night.
Right. And basically what he said is that, he said, that pass allows you to go to that area over there where you stand behind the yellow line, and it's a very select group of people who are allowed to come this close to the pit area. You are not supposed to come in and get inside the vehicle. I mean, the guy was...
So he went nuts.
Yeah.
The guy was P-I-double-S-E-D.
Yeah.
Sure.
And of course, what a stupid ass I am.
Should have looked at him and said, I didn't drive it.
A stupid
okay,
ass I am.
Okay, Mr. Man.
However... the picture's pretty good.
Really?
I'll see my girlfriend tomorrow night. I'll get the picture and bring it in and put it on the website. Because
and you took this picture on Sunday?
On Sunday.
Because you were inside the race on Sunday. Probably would have gone a little worse if you had done something like that on Friday night.
The look that I have on my face is one of... and I only saw it on her little camera, because she's got to print it out. And so it was just that, where you look at it and you go, oh, that looks pretty good. It's a really, really happy look where she said, you look so happy there. She said, oh, but look at that, so sad. You look so hungover. And then the more she said, you look so tired. And then she said, oh, that's such a sad smile. It's like you're happy, but look at, you're so sad.
Here I am in the race car.
Here I am in the
race car. Happy clown. Did you, when you were in the race car, did you sneak one? Did he give him a little one cheek
snake? No. My God, it was
leave a little something in there.
Just a great weekend, and hi to all my homies.
Sounds fun. Would you go again?
No.
Oh, come on. Yes, you would. Sounds like you had a good time.
Not there.
Oh, you go to another one.
I'd go somewhere else,
like Richmond. I hear Richmond is special.
Somewhere they don't know.
My NASCAR buddies tell me Richmond is really special.
Touch the light. Get her done.
I've been to Richmond itself, Richmond, Virginia.
Yeah, the race.
For me, that's just fine.
That's a night race too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
I don't know if it's triangle track though.
Round track.
Round track.
I think so.
Oval.
Had a hell of a time, and no wonder that there are 8,000 cops with their speed guns for the 200 miles that you're leaving that place. Because really, I swear to God, you get in your car.
Oh man, they had a good one today.
And you just want to punch it, and you just want to go as fast as you can.
You know, about an 80 degree day here in Washington D.C., and the old motorcycle cops under the overpass with a bright sunny day, early summer when that sun is high, and they sit out there, and you don't see them until you're on top of them, and they were just it. it was ducks in a barrel, fish in a barrel. They were just enjoying themselves, pulling one after the other after the other. It was terrible.
You know, I think it's funny you say that. I know we got a break, Rob, but I promise we will. I think one of my many drunken NASCAR conversations over the weekend was actually, it's funny you mention that. Has anybody really ever shot fish in a barrel?
Mm.
And what makes it so easy to shoot fish in a barrel?
Well, it would depend on the amount of fish.
Right. These are the questions that I was asking my tent friends.
But it would seem to me that if you had the volume of fish in the barrel where it was where you were able to shoot them easily,
you couldn't miss.
That it would be a situation where you might as well use a hook.
Yeah, but you know what?
What's that?
It'll make your barrel leak.
Get her done.
Get her done.
My girlfriend also was telling me a lot of my opening line with a lot of people.
Yeah.
My icebreaker would be, which shoe do you tie first?
Wow. That sounds to me like one of those nonsensical drunken moments.
Well, it was how I sized people. I said,
which shoe do
you... I said, if they put their right shoe on first, they're okay with me.
That's what I do.
Well, we would go past some people's little area.
I mean, putting them on or tying them. I tie my right one first.
Well, see, what I do is I actually put both socks on first, then I put the right shoe on, tie that one, then put the left shoe on and tie that one. You don't care about this.
What I do normally is if I have the right fitting shoe, even if it's a tie shoe, I tie it just so there's a little play left. Then I run from the end of the room and I jump into them.
But you were sizing people up with this. What does that say about a person if they tie their left shoe first or their right shoe first?
That meant we went to another tent.
I see. Is that arbitrary then?
Well, you start with your left one, huh? Hope you enjoy the race. We gots to go.
Any of them do Velcro?
The old guy in the Lucy and Ricky trailer, he had the Velcro shoes on.
All right.
Don't argue with those Velcro shoes.
God damn, what a great weekend. What a great weekend.
They might be a little tough to operate, but they're stylish.
Got back very late on Sunday, then got up very early yesterday morning to go with my buddy Mike to take the train to New York.
It's been a long time since we've done that.
Meet with the big old Bobby Bacala, our boss, and those other two dicks that he brought along. And all in all... pretty good, huh?
All in all, pretty good outside of the awareness of the morning rush hour here in Washington, D.C., which is, I am simply surprised. I guess there are certain offices downtown where arriving for work at 11 o'clock is acceptable.
I guess.
Because really, I was astonished. I gave myself an hour and a half, and I would estimate the miles to be maybe 26, 27 miles total as the crow flies.
Right.
And 1 hour every inch of the hour and a half to get down to the train station.
You averaged about 20 miles an hour.
Averaged about 20 miles an hour, maybe a little less than that. It was truly astonishing. And then when we got to Union Station, ran into a woman in an SUV who was without question the slowest driving woman I've ever seen. Hmm. And I couldn't kill her. I had to wait for her.
They frown on that.
It's frustrating.
Why not do both?
Yeah, well,
wait a minute.
Where am I going to leave the body in the middle of that parking garage at Union Station?
Oh, and oh, God, hold on a second. I did buy gifts for everybody here, but you got to wait till I'm not going to see my girlfriend until tomorrow. She took them in her bag. I did buy all of you guys Dale Sr. shirts with the halos on them.
Hey.
Oh, that's great.
With the halo over.
We will wear them.
I'll wear that on the bike.
Sure.
I'll wear that in public.
We'll wear them.
Nice.
All right. Meredith Vera, what's next?
We are going to be talking about vaginas.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, God bless. I knew she'd upgrade that show.
Thank you. Again, what was that, Meredith?
We are going to be talking about vaginas.
You know, Katie Couric, on the other hand, made herself famous by The Other Side.
Yeah.
And well, it did, Rob. Colonoscopy.
Here's Katie Couric.
You want a match? My face and your ass. How about that, friend? Huh? I mean, your ass and my face. What's up?
Her voice sounds better now.
It doesn't sound as acid reflux,
yeah,
does it?
Yeah, sounds terrific. She's finally getting that resonance back.
Oh, and listen, as I mentioned, it's Tuesday. And for the longest time on Tuesday, that was the day that we would review the previous night's episode of 24.
Right.
And anyway, that show's not on now.
No, not
the show's done for the year.
Yeah, but one guy's just not letting go.
That's true.
He
bad.
Won't. We'll be right back.
Number 15 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.